It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Over the past year, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has heard from nearly 200 people reporting instances of blackouts, injuries, or other incidents during drinking alcohol or after drinking alcohol at resorts or tourist towns in Mexico. In this segment, we're going to talk to the lead reporter about this investigation. Have you, your family members, or any of your friends had an experience where you blacked out or became ill after drinking alcohol at a resort or tourist town in Mexico? Bartenders and restaurant owners, have you dealt with contaminated alcohol before? What do you suspect happened? Business owners, have you been propositioned to buy illicit alcohol before? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. My guest is Raquel Rutledge, investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's been reporting on blackouts and other alcohol-related incidents at Mexican resorts for the past year. Raquel, welcome to the morning show.
Thank you. Good morning.
When did you first start reporting on this story, and how did you find out that this was going on?
Yeah, well, it's been about a year ago now, and it started with the story of, I found out about a young woman from Wisconsin who, a UW-Whitewater student, 20 years old, was vacationing with her family at a resort in Playa del Carmen in January of 2017. And I heard some months later about what had happened just from people in the community kind of talking about it, saying, you know, it was so odd that she drowned and her brother nearly drowned alongside her, and just, you know, in the early evening in a resort pool. And it just, there were a lot of questions, and the family just wasn't getting answers as to what exactly happened, how did it happen, and they weren't getting assistance from the U.S. State Department, the FBI, and just all these questions. So I started looking into it at that point with really more questions certainly than answers at that time.
So as you started to look into this, how many reports of blackouts, injuries, near drownings, deaths has the Journal Sentinel gotten over the last year?
Yeah, well, since that story, right after we ran that, I just started my email and my, I started getting voice messages and phone calls, et cetera, from just dozens and dozens of people saying that, you know, they had experiences where they drank small, moderate amounts of alcohol and blacked out, and it's totaled. Now it's above 170 that I've got. They trickle in. In fact, last week or so, I got another couple of detailed stories from people who were just there in July. So just this past July, in the last couple of weeks. So it's continuing to be a problem.
Are these incidents all over the map in Mexico, or is there maybe a place or two where it's much more likely to be happening?
Well, we've heard from people, a concentration of people around Cancun and Riviera Maya, which is just south of Cancun, you know, down to Playa del Carmen is a popular tourist place. And then all the way across to Cabo, I've gotten a bunch from Cabo and also Puerto Vallarta. So it is scattered about the country. We haven't been able to post all the stories yet that we've heard. So we're vetting those and getting documentation and all that. So it's a slow process for me to go through all of these stories, but we're trying to post as many as we can so people can see that it is not just in Cancun.
Are there some threads that that kind of go through this that link these incidents, some commonalities in terms of what happens that you've noticed?
Yeah, there certainly are some themes and some commonalities. You know, some are that it appears to be where people will get very sick, violently ill with vomiting and lose all bodily, control of all bodily functions and not know, wake up and have no memory at all. In other cases, I'm hearing from people who were, people around them said that they were awake, but they have no memory. So that sounds more like a deliberate type drugging of a GHB type thing, or something where they're awake, they're not violently sick, but they don't have any memory for spans of 4 to 5 hours at times. When in the other case with the violent vomiting and that sort of thing, sounds like that's potentially more of a contaminated type alcohol thing. We wrote a story back in February where the Mexican authorities seized about 20,000 gallons of illicit alcohol from two black market distilleries. It was tequila that they got back then. And they tested that and found 200 and some gallons were contaminated with methanol. So they know it is a problem, and it's something that, you know, they've been long aware of and trying to deal with.
So for those who had these experiences where hours of time disappeared from memory, during that time, are we talking about people who were being robbed or assaulted? What was going on when they were out of it?
Yeah, you know, in many cases, people have woken up. The woman I just spoke with in the last few days, she woke up with just bruises all over her body. Her companion that she was with, you know, had a broken, just bloody nose, gashes on their chin, and just. But yeah, some folks have woken up to find they were robbed, they were assaulted. Others wake up and they can't find any motive for. They can't find any. The signs of any assault or anything. So in some cases, it's unclear what's happened when they were out. So other times, it's much more clear. It's hard to know. It's not, there isn't one smoking gun here, it doesn't look like.
Yeah, okay. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Have you, listeners, have you been to some of these places in Mexico? And what was your experience? Did you experience a problem with tainted alcohol? Did you get sick? Or maybe you went to these places and nothing bad happened to you. Either way, let us know what your experience was. 800-642-1234. Tainted or contaminated alcohol isn't really a new problem in Mexico, though, right? I mean, this has been going on for some time.
Well, that is true, and that's one of the questions that people have is like, well, if this has been going on for so long, why have I not known about it? And what I've heard in the dozens and dozens of interviews that I've done is that a lot of folks are embarrassed or ashamed, and they haven't reported it necessarily because they don't think anyone will believe them, especially those who were at the all-inclusive resorts. I think they feel like people will not believe that they actually had one or two drinks. And certainly there are plenty of people that do over-imbibe while at these places, and so that's probably more common than someone who has one and then blacks out. So I think have been ashamed and embarrassed and not wanting to come forward. And in other cases, they've actually tried to come forward. And one of the stories we also wrote last year in our investigation, we found that lots of people did try to warn others. They have tried to blow the whistle and raise red flags on this. And their reports were deleted by some of the blogs. One of the companies, TripAdvisor, it's a popular website that a lot of people depend on when researching their upcoming trips. TripAdvisor was deleting the reviews from people that were expressing their terrifying experiences. So I think that's one of the reasons why, a number of reasons why it hasn't come to light sooner.
What about travel agents? What are they doing, if anything, to warn people away from certain areas, or at least caution them that certain they need to be careful about some things?
Yeah, well, travel agents are bound by law to disclose. They have a duty to warn, duty to inform travelers of known risks. And that's another story that we wrote because we found that people were saying, hey, no one told me. I had no idea. They hadn't seen the stories. Their travel agents had not warned them. And we've heard that they weren't warning them. Now, it's been a couple of months since I wrote that story, so I don't know if things have changed on that front, if travel agents now are being more cautious. What they were doing a lot of times is just referring people to the U.S. State Department and saying, hey, you know, just check out the State Department. You'll find everything you need to know there. And the State Department does, since we started writing this stuff, they have modified their Mexico page to have some of the information to alert travelers to the alcohol issues. However, it's buried. It's very difficult to find. It's buried on their website. It's not obvious.
So those people who have reported problems while they were in Mexico, did they approach a U.S. consulate? What kind of response did they get from U.S. officials when they brought reports of some of this activity at the resorts they were staying at?
Yeah, in many cases they did. They did reach out to the U.S. consular offices. And they were surprised to find that there was very little the officials from the U.S. can actually do. They don't have authority to investigate, for starters, and I think that's sometimes surprising to people. And then secondly, they can't advocate for you. They cannot, they can't translate for you. If you don't speak Spanish, they cannot even translate for you. They can't recommend, they can't offer legal advice. And what they can do is they can accompany you to the police department if you choose to go that route, because another surprising thing to a lot of travelers was that when they called for police help, the police would not come, and the resorts would not call the police. It was their job to go out to the police themselves. And so a lot of people thought, well, gosh, if this has happened to me on this resort space that I thought was safe, what might happen if I go out? So a lot of people didn't want to go out and file police reports. It's difficult to do. So they were very surprised to find the U.S. State Department, has very little authority. But the Office of Inspector General at the U.S. State Department is doing an investigation right now into how the State Department has handled these deaths and injuries. And that report should be out in the next couple of months.
What about the Mexican authorities themselves? So let's say that somebody does decide to actually go to the police department and make a report. How do the Mexican authorities handle this? And then how do the resorts handle this?
Yeah, well, the resorts have really just taken a stance of denial in all the cases that I've heard from. Now, this, again, other people may have had different experiences, but from the ones who've contacted me, they time and time and time again just said, the resort was in denial, wouldn't acknowledge this had happened, was not helpful in getting them the help that they needed. And with the same with the police have been very reluctant. In many cases, they certainly did not do a thorough investigation in a number of the deaths in terms of interviewing others who might have witnessed anything, interviewing bartenders, talking to other guests that were staying at the resorts. The investigations have not been, up to the standards that we encounter typically here in the United States and that we expect. That's another thing, is when something does happen, there's very little hope that people will find justice.
Well, weren't there some cases where the Mexican authorities either jailed or wanted to put in jail some of the people who were making the complaints? I thought I read that someplace, but maybe I didn't.
Yes, you did read that, and that is true. There are a number of cases that have talked to people that ended up that when they woke up and came to, they were in jail, and they were being extorted for thousands of dollars in some cases. And one woman said, she wanted to call the consulate, and they wouldn't help her find the number, and turned her loose in the middle of the night. She kept begging to be released from the jail. They arrested her for trying to help another couple. She was sober, and she was trying to help another couple that she saw that had been very sick, and they were in danger, and she was trying to help them. And so they arrested her, and she was, in her bikini, and it was, early evening. But by the time they let her out of jail, it was midnight, and she had no shoes, no passport, no purse. And they just said, okay, you're free to go. And so, they just turned her loose. She didn't know where she was. It was terrifying.
Wow. We have a call. Bruce is with us from Racine. Bruce, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, this agent being used is called Devil's Breath. It comes out of Colombia. It comes from the Bergmansia flower or tree. And what it does is it's an alkaloid like cocaine. They use it for making zombies out of people. They'll put a little bit in a drink on the food or on some pretty women. They'll put it on some of their hair, and you get a little bit in, a little bit sniff or something like that. And you become completely docile. You do whatever you're told. You have no memory of it. I mean, people will even help clean out their own apartments and have no memory of what went on. But it's that's what's going on here. It's just an alkaloid that they use, organized crime uses. And police that are in Mexico are connected to this, too. Just to take people for whatever it is, and sometimes they just get their numbers, their PIN numbers and stuff like that, and they'll clean them out later. But it's a drug called
Devil's Breath. We got that, Bruce. Thank you, Raquel Rutledge. Devil's Breath, is that something that has appeared in your research?
Yeah, that has definitely been something that a number of people have brought up. It's another name for it is scopolamine. And we did pursue that avenue of investigation, and because actually one of the women, they were wearing scopolamine patches. Scopolamine can also be used to help you if you get seasickness. It's one of those things that's, and so you can wear these little patches behind your ear. And I did come across one woman who in my interviewing said she was wearing these patches, and I thought, oh gosh, I've heard that before. And, you know, could that be the commonality in our people? You know, is that getting people? But that very well may be in some of the cases. That's definitely a possibility. It doesn't sound like all the symptoms that I hear from people are all the same as such, but it does sound like in some cases that may be. And it's very common. That's the kidnapping drug that was used in Colombia commonly. So, you know, yeah, that's a possibility. So is GHB. I mean, we've tried to do all kinds of testing, and if you don't test, you know, immediately, you just can't. The tests aren't sensitive enough to pick it up.
Yeah, these things are metabolized pretty quickly, I understand.
Yeah, exactly.
We've got about 2 minutes, so about a minute and a half left here. What should people who want to go to Mexico do, and what should they not do? Should they just avoid going or avoid drinking alcohol while they're there? What advice would you have based on what you've seen?
Well, I mean, I think that's for every individual to decide. Kind of, you know, everyone has a different comfort level with how much risk they're willing to take. And so some people just, you know, feel like I'm not worried about it. You know, it's not going to happen to me. And I've talked to a number of people who read all of our stories and were aware, and they went anyway thinking, okay, you know, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to play the odds. I don't think it's a problem. And then sure enough, you know, in a number of cases, you know, became violently ill and were very terrified. And so, you know, but it is just up to everybody to decide for themselves. I guess those who are going to go, the least amount of trouble that I've heard so far is people drinking their own beer. So I have one case of somebody that opened their own beer and collapsed after having one sip, but that was only one case. So the least amount of trouble seems to be from, like, opening your own bottle of beer. Not totally guaranteed to be safe, but it's, I think, the best odds from what all I've heard.
30 seconds. What are you hoping to figure out next as you continue with the story?
Well, I think the next thing is just to figure out how the State Department can to be more helpful to U.S. citizens who are injured and or even help the loved ones of those who've died abroad, because that is an area that is still extremely problematic.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Raquel Rutledge, investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She's been reporting on blackouts and other alcohol-related incidents at Mexican resorts for the past year. When we return after the news, we'll hear the second of two interviews with Democratic candidates running in the August 14th primary for Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.